In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our opening collect this morning informs us, Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ, you have revealed your glory among the nations. How have we lost or perhaps become oblivious to this promise? It seems like our world is falling away. Post-Christendom is the very culture that emerges as the Christian faith loses coherence within a society that's been definitively shaped by the Christian story, and as the institutions that have been developed to express Christian convictions decline in their very own influence. Post-Christendom refers to the changing place of the Christian community in a complex society that's increasingly unfamiliar with the gospel and culturally more distant from the churches. The challenge is to think and act at cross-cultural missionaries within our own culture. Our strife in the world, our preoccupation with our own self-interests, our tribes, our inability to understand our connectedness with fellow human inhabitants, and the desire for a mutual flourishing is the very cause of global unrest wherein we find ourselves continually today. As Episcopalians, as Americans, this is a very hard pill to swallow. We see statistics and we pray for reemergence in our culture. And so then what does this require of us? We cling to our beautiful biblical tradition, which depends on scripture, on tradition, and yes, on reason. And yet we need to be aware of our reliance on the very first and foremost grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ within that. In Isaiah today, as servants, we are called and commissioned by God to live into our baptismal covenant. We are called by our name, by the Lord, where there is no other. Cyrus, as a mighty ruler used by God, was a brilliant man, an outsider, a political and military genius who rescued the Jewish people from captivity from the Babylonians and in whom God tasked the rebuilding of Jerusalem. He was one who introduced the concept of tolerance and embraced minorities and was not of one of the faithful few. In this reading that we have today, we hear that God is directly addressing his leader whom he's chosen. There's a depth of honor in that, and God calls Cyrus his anointed and grasps his right hand. What an immense affirmation this must have brought to Cyrus. Cyrus is to open doors by God's inspiration. The prophets ask us to bring into expression new realities amongst the more visible ones of the old order. Our God now is the same God who appointed the Emperor Cyrus. What task has he set before us? And how does the Holy Spirit inspire us in our work of the church, our participation in the furtherance of the kingdom? Is there a door that God wants us to open in order to help someone else? And how can we be drawn by words from ages and ages past, so long ago? Well, a lesson for me surfaced this week amidst the tensions of cultural misunderstandings. It was a 1.5-hour video that was heart-rending and transformative, and I put the link to it in the printed sermon notes this morning. There was an Afghan refugee, her name is Bibi Barami, and she and her members of her little Indiana mosque come face to face with a U.S. Marine who has a secret plan to bomb their community off the face of the earth, their little community center in Indiana. But Mac McKinney's plan takes an unexpected turn. The name of this video is called Stranger at the Gate, and it's a remarkable story of transformation, grace, and hope that I highly commend to each one of you. Energizing is closely linked to hope. We are energized not by that which we already possess, but that which is a promise that is about to be given. Prophets like Isaiah, prophets like the Marine McKinney in this film, nurture and evoke a whole new way of thinking that gives us images and words which subvert and upset our normal system and tell us that we haven't seen the whole picture yet. Prophets are not just concerned about social changes. They're concerned above all with transformation and freedom of the heart. And then out of that free heart, the prophet says, listen. The prophet creates a new freeing consciousness that allows for new possibilities, a new reality, by allowing us to hear the divine word so that it can enter into us. Within this consciousness is a promise for a new thing. This new thing, they often tantalize us because we can't begin to understand God's intention in the midst of his message often. Yet we as Christians are called forward in this struggle. So what gives us our hope and energy and power? It is our faith. God is calling us deeper. And this is the way that divine love calls us and moves us forward. It stretches our hearts into a real rebirth. This is the way we are reborn again and again until we enter through death into the promise of a deeper and even more authentic life. Segueing to our Matthew reading this morning, Jesus has offered the parables describing what the kingdom of heaven is like. His prayer to his Father is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is an appeal for our earth to be ordered according to God's vision. Now, the religious leadership is trying to entrap Jesus in his own words, and they want to see him discredit himself in front of the people. Our citizenship is dual, by which I mean we're citizens of the land that we live in, of course, while at the same time we're Christians. We owe and we pay taxes. We live in a society that provides a relatively comfortable safetiness against lawlessness. We're privileged to have the resources of water and heat and light and cleanliness, which are not available to many, many, many people in the world. And we take this for granted in our day-to-day existence. We're able also to have the provision of education, medical services, and unemployment compensation. And so it creates a debt in our individual selves as an obligation to become a good citizen. In this, we live with law and order, and it doesn't really require us to be religious or even Christian in character. The practicing Christian, however, lives their life with faith as the primary authority, not in conflict with the demands of a civil society. But our faith becomes the primary lens in which cohesion and civic obedience fill out a dual citizenship that we have. And Jesus' response to the Pharisees shouldn't surprise us at all, but enlighten us. Jesus' message is a message of religion. Religion's main and final goal is to reconnect us, religio. I think of the word ligio like ligament, to the whole, to ourselves, and to one another, and thus to heal us. Richard Rohr tells us that Jesus was a whole maker, bringing together those who were divided, those who were separated or left out of the whole. He initiated a whole new way of Catholicity. And when I use this word Catholicity, it's Catholic, which is a small c. And that word means universal, a gathering together of persons in love. The established and dominant culture cannot have the authority that God does. God's promises, they energize our hearts, expand our hearts, and deepen our capacity for life and a better quality in this world. And God has placed the seal of his ultimate authority within us as his children. We affirm this each time we meet as we say the Nicene Creed. And this is what God has planted in our hearts. This finally is the only overcoming of death, the only answer to absurdity that this time is going to end. And that's what the promises of God does lead us to experience, and it's a deeper life. The gospel writers call it resurrection. Finally, in a prayer that Dean Johnson offers, Bishop Dean Johnson offers, we cry out. Cry out, cry out. Oh God, what shall we cry? Cry out for justice. Cry out for love. Cry out for hope. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for kindness. Cry out for compassion. Let everything that hath breath cry out. What shall we cry? Cry out for peace. Amen.